Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Hello again. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage and talking to the folks that make the race cars go around the racetrack. Pit Road reporter for Motor Racing Network, Steve Post, joined by 25-time and championship-winning crew chief Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm great. We've got some racing in the books. We're looking forward to Daytona.
How was your non-traveling, non-active racing? Because we're not using that off-season phrase
anymore. It's not an off-season.
No.
Exactly. It may be for us.
Yes.
But not for the race teams. Not for NASCAR. But it's good. It's good. Got a little family time. Youngest home from college for that break.
And
Yeah, lots of stuff going on, but ready to get back to racetrack.
Well, there's the thing. Same thing. I had both my daughters home for the holidays, and my oldest one, it was January 1st. January 1st is when, and it's generally right around there, January 1st, where I'm just sitting there, and she says, "Dad, you look bored." And I said, "Yeah, I'm getting there." She says, "You need to get to a racetrack." Now, I do some indoor stuff, and that was like on a Tuesday and Thursday. I was on an airplane headed to, or on a car headed to Allentown. But yeah, it's time. It's fascinating because we get wore down, we get beat up by this. But my old buddy Chocolate Myers, the legendary fuel man from Richard Childress Racing, the Flying Aces, he always said, "Racing is the routine," and we certainly seem to function better when we get into the routine in racing, and we're on the cusp of that for sure.
Yeah, definitely are. This is a time of year that I think everybody's anxious and ready to get going and get that routine back. It's the when you travel, when you come home, what your bag looks like. The first time you go to, and tell everybody home, but the first time you go to Daytona for the year, it takes you 30 minutes to pack your bag.
Yeah.
You got to think about what you're going to do.
Exactly.
By the time you get to the second Daytona, their race 25 of the year, it's 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it's the same stuff goes back in, the same stuff comes back out. It's just, you're ready to get back in that routine.
In Daytona, we know where the Walmart and the Walgreens are because you always, much as we plan the packing, there's always something. I am really good at forgetting something every time. So
I was always good for Kansas. The second Kansas, we come out of the summer swing.
Yeah.
We've not had to have warm clothes.
Well,
you got short sleeves. You don't bring jackets. I bought two things at Cabela's out there in Kansas because I've gotten there. It's like, forgot to pack that.
For whatever reason, mine was belts at Pocono.
Okay.
I'd be up there with the family and not bring a belt or whatever it is. For whatever reason, there's always one thing, that little outlet, the Tanger Outlet Mall, I would go. Yeah. I think I did that 3 separate years. So, all the first world problems that we have traveling around doing NASCAR, right?
Definitely, definitely. But the guys have gotten a trial run, got out to the Clash. And kudos to NASCAR, the broadcast.
Correct.
I want to, everybody, broadcast partners, Fox, MRN, NASCAR teams. I mean, that's just a work in progress to basically, what was it, 12:30?
Yep.
They made the call, which I broadcast people, I think, had to buy in before them, and then move this race forward to Saturday, knowing the weather and the devastation we saw out there in Southern California. I feel terrible for the people out there and hope everybody, hope everybody recovers from it, but they understood what was coming, and they moved the race forward. We got a great show on Saturday night.
Yeah, we really did. Got the full race in, the full NASCAR Cup Series race and the NASCAR Mexico Series race. We spent some time in that NASCAR Mexico garage, and then I'm like, I hope these kids get the race.
Yeah.
I hope they get the race, and they did, and they had a really, really good race. But I agree, it was a strange, strange time. I knew going into it, I used to do NASCAR Performance Live with Larry McReynolds.
Mm-hmm.
So every Wednesday, I would have the detailed hour-by-hour weather for the weekend, because Larry is that guy. He is the weather geek. Now, I've moved to the other side of this, where Thursday night when I'm packing, I might grab the phone and say, "What's the weather look like?" So I was kind of in that mode, but boy, when we landed out there on Friday and you start listening to the news reports and everything, it's like, this is going to be serious.
Did you pack to stay to Wednesday?
Yes, I did. I did peck
steak. At least you looked that far.
I did look that far ahead. And chatted. We have Dan Hubbard out there. And chatted with Dan last week on Tuesday or Wednesday, and he was surviving well, but the news reports were really, really bad. So hopefully that get some dry weather and get things wrung out there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely. So. But the product in the racetrack,
yeah,
pretty darn good.
Pretty good. That's for sure. I mean, I thought the racing was really fun. We end up with Denny Hamlin and his crew chief, Chris Gabehart, getting the win. Kyle Busch and Randall Burnett, this just boggles my mind how good they are. They've done everything at the Coliseum but win.
Kyle's finished. We've had three races there.
Yep.
Third, second, third.
Third, second, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's been podium.
Something like that. Top three times.
They do the podium. He's got a medal every year. He's medaled every year out there. And then we're going to talk to Jonathan Hassler, Ryan Blaney. What a run they had as well.
Yes.
From 23rd to 3rd.
Yeah, took the provisional. Good thing he was a champion.
Who saw Christopher Bell fourth in points not getting a provisional?
When in first practice, he was top four?
Top four, yeah.
Top three? I don't know. He was right there near the top of the board. I didn't. And we'll talk to Hassler about that, because it seemed like Christopher Bell and Ryan Blaney, they took stickers for second practice and qualified on scuffs, and it hurt them.
Yeah.
And I don't quite understand. I'd like to hear what Hassler has to say about that, because we'll see where that goes.
He was in that camp. He's the one that did it. So we'll see.
Unfortunately, he had that championship to lean back on, and a great drive. They drove forward just meticulously. Yeah. It looked like they were kind of stuck for a little bit, but they had a good car. They had a good car, really, really good at the end there.
This Coliseum has been a blast. I mean, this thing has been a blast. We don't know what, there's all the speculation, but man, what a fun time.
Yeah. Yeah. We got controversy between Ty Gibbs and Joey Logano.
I know. How about that? Yeah, absolutely. They thought they buried the hatchet last year, and apparently the hatchet has been dug back up again.
Yep.
So, we've already got a budding rivalry before we even get started in the season. I do want to mention this again, and we talked about it in the context of the rain delay. The NASCAR Mexico series was there, and we, the MRN crew, we had a chance to spend time in that garage, and the drivers do pretty good at speaking English, unlike the MRN guys who have no Spanish skills at all. Drivers do really, really good, but you're around watching. And I left that garage area with the thought, where racers are racers. And man, these guys, man, they were awesome, and they just put on a great show. They put on a great race, and I love it. And I hope we get to see the NASCAR Mexico series running with us somewhere again down the road. Racers are racers. Mm-hmm. And man, they were just there. Man, they were happy to be there, and it was fun. It was a fun weekend, that's for sure. So. And off to Daytona.
Awesome deal.
Awesome deal. For sure. Hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk to Jonathan Hassler here on the program. But I've reminded you this, and I'm going to keep hitting you over the head with this, folks. Okay, like and share and subscribe, please, to all of our channels, all of our MRM programs. This is how it's done. This is the new way of doing things. So right now, drop everything. Subscribe to this YouTube channel. Subscribe to this podcast on Spotify or wherever you're listening. And share it with your friends, too. If you like what we're doing here on Crew Call, like, subscribe, share, and we do appreciate it. So we're going to step away. When we come back, Jonathan Hassler, the reigning crew chief champion, he joins us next. Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, and let's get right to it. He is our reigning championship-winning crew chief from up at Team Penske. Jonathan Hassler joins us. Hello, Jonathan. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on the show. Doing well.
What's the championship celebration been like? When did the calendar flip? What's the mood? What's the sense up there after winning that championship last year?
The celebration was definitely good. Got to celebrate a few different times with, the immediate race team with the whole company, and then obviously with the whole garage, the banquet in Nashville. So that was great. But then we got right back to it. Honestly, we went to Phoenix and tested early in December, tested some different aero packages for NASCAR, and some different things that we wanted to look at as well. So, did that right away. And then, took a lot of the rest of December off and spent time with family. But then, as soon as the calendar turned over to 2024, we were back at it and trying to get ready for another season.
So talk about, you brought up the Phoenix test, first chance to get the Dark Horse Mustang out there on the racetrack, and play with different aero packages. in a little bit of a hangover had to be from Celebration, but because it was pretty quick right after the season, you kind of had to put your head right back to it. What'd you see out of that? What'd you learn from it?
Yeah, we tested, a handful of different packages for NASCAR, some different splitter and diffuser packages that they had worked on in the tunnel to just try and make the short track package better. You know, we've seen with this car that, a lot of the racetracks where, there's two grooves and the guys can race side by side, that this car is head and shoulders really over what we've had in the past. But we've certainly struggled, I think, at the more one lane single file tracks to make good racing. So, you know, that test was kind of designed to try and make those places a little bit better. And we tried a few things that didn't work, and then a couple things that seemed to be similar or a little bit better to what we had last year, and ended up with a diffuser package that certainly is simpler and cheaper for the teams, which I think will help everybody in the long run. As you know, at this point, we ended up kind of on a similar splitter to what we ran last year. So a little bit of a change, but not a drastic change from what we ran last year, but certainly expected to be a little bit better.
Jonathan, the test was a NASCAR test, and you've talked about the splitter, the diffuser, everything that we're going to change with the car. There still has to be things that you, with your team, with the new Mustang, had to be nice to get your hands on that Dark Horse Mustang. Understanding the motive, the mission was NASCAR, but it had to be neat for you guys to be one of the teams that got your hands on that new car.
Yeah, it's definitely good to get back out on the track. For us, Phoenix was one of those races where we had practice and we got to try a couple different things. And we had a couple things that, paths that we took from the test or from having practice. So we really just tried to, key and understand those different paths that we had from practice and kind of build on that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's impressive to do that. It's your one opportunity off season. I guess I'll go to this thing. Four wins, counting the all-star win for you as a crew chief in a championship. I don't know that anybody's done it quicker than that before, but how has winning the championship changed things for you and your outlook and for the team?
Yeah, we've had a couple meetings, with the whole group, with the whole 12 group, and after winning the championship and winning a handful of races, having a really good season, things are definitely different. And I think you just kind of have to talk, I think, as a team, how you want to address those differences. And I think, we really wanted our focus going into 2024 to be, just to continue the same approach and mentality that we had in all of 2023. And that's really just to focus on being better, kind of regardless of, you're at the top of the board or the bottom of the board, just continue to focus on trying to be better week in and week out and have a good process and let kind of the results and everything else take care of itself.
So in that whole piece, it looks like the momentum of the last three races of last year, which I felt like you were one of the best the last three, you carried over to the Clash, a pretty competitive drive up through the field and put yourself in position to compete for the win.
Yeah, we had, a really good race there. Certainly kind of got behind the eight ball a little bit with qualifying. And I made looking back, probably a poor decision to try and qualify on scuffs. Didn't have, obviously 2 years of data points and you think you kind of understand the trends of the track, but then, go in there in a little bit different circumstances this year with, I think, the Mexico Series cars being there and, the track having a little bit different progression and certainly, didn't work out the way we thought it would work out as far as qualifying goes. And I had to start at the back of the field. Fortunately, with the success we had last year, we had the opportunity to still get in with the provisional. And yeah, I had a really good race car and had had a couple of wrecks that allowed us to gain a lot of spots in a short time, but then certainly we're able to pass a lot of cars on track too and be up there at the end of that race.
And you touched on it because you and the 20 both made the call to put your stickers on and practice too and qualify on scuffs. As I think about it in the history, when we've repaved a racetrack and essentially the Coliseum is a repave every year because we tear it up and put it back down anew. Typically, repave scuffs have been equal, if not better, at times. What do you think changed that this time? You mentioned the Mexico Series, but I wouldn't even think when we had weekends with the Xfinity Series that it would change that much.
Yeah, you know, I definitely had a similar thought to you, Todd, that, you know, scuffs and some heat in the tires would be, you know, wouldn't be a negative. And honestly, I still wouldn't say that have a full understanding of kind of what happened there. It was kind of interesting if you go and look at each of the sessions. You know, the not only was the second session slower for all the groups this year, the third group, even for, you know, an equal amount of time on tires, was a step slower. So the track was certainly going through some swings that were certainly different than anything we'd seen in the past.
Well, speaking of going through some swings, we're all out there at the Coliseum on Saturday, and we're planning, well, we're all watching our weather radar. Not sure when we're planning on running the race, whether we're going to run it Sunday or whether we're going to run it Wednesday or Thursday. What was the shift that you guys had to make when the decision was made to qualify and run the race that night? How drastic or how big or how did, what went into play when that was announced?
Yeah, I think, you know, for us, the biggest, I would say, stress maybe on the whole weekend was just, you know, when we got there, we you know, knew there was a possibility that we would kind of be impounded all the way to the race, and didn't know at the time that they were considering moving the race forward. So, you know, there's some equipment for sure that we can change on the car, you know, defrosters and, you know, how you prep the windshield to make sure that, you know, if you do have to race in the rain, that you're ready for that. And so we didn't quite know how that would go. But, you know, otherwise the rest of the setup and the decisions, you know, that really wasn't a big deal for us. We unloaded with what we thought was going to be the best, you know, for the race and didn't have, you know, plans of, you know, trying anything or making big changes, you know, whether if we were going to get a roll through inspection again. So I wouldn't say it really changed our process. You just had to make decisions a good bit faster.
Yeah, definitely. A lot faster. And kudos to everybody, teams, NASCAR, broadcast partners, for making that happen, because I don't know that we would have gotten a race in. Looked like it was going to be Wednesday or Thursday, and I don't know that would have worked. You talked a little bit about, you know, the 12 team and winning a championship and kind of getting back to things. I would say a kind of significant change for you, Tim Fedewa coming on to spot for you. How do you help nurture that relationship to get it ready for Daytona, a place that I would say spotter interaction with the driver and crew chief is as important as any place?
Yeah, we've talked a lot about that, and you know, Ryan and Tim have kind of you know, both watched some film and have a decent understanding of you know, the what each other are going to ask for and you know, sound like, I think, is pretty important. Just trying to, you know, the tone of the voice and how things come across is certainly important and different from spotter to spotter and driver to driver. I think the one thing that we've realized is that, you know, there's really going to be no substitute for track time, because, you know, it's the timing of when the messages kind of come across each way is so important. And there's really no way to simulate that without kind of being, you know, on the racetrack. So we've kind of got to lay the plan out to make sure we have, you know, a lot of recordings of how things go in the duels, and sit down on Friday morning and you know, talk through the duels and all the certain situations that we went through, and make sure that we can, you know, make changes along the way going into the 500.
You talk about this in Daytona, the duel, the practice sessions, from a spotter standpoint, but look at a bigger picture. Let's assume that you survive the dual races and you're fairly happy with the race car. How then do you approach those practice sessions? Do you go out and shake the car down? How, assuming again everything goes well, how do you approach those couple of practice sessions we have after the dual races?
Yeah, to be honest, I think you know, every year you go in and you say you know if my car is really good, you know, we probably won't practice a lot. We'll, you know, manage risk. We'll, you know, keep time off the motor. But ultimately, I would say, you know, you and the driver are always going to be able to pick apart a couple of different weaknesses on your car and things you want to work on. And you're going to end up out there practicing in some scenario, I'd say, kind of regardless. So we'll try to, like I said, try to figure out what our strengths and weaknesses are, and you know, do what we can in those practice sessions. We'll probably practice with our teammates instead of in a, you know, in a big pack, but try to improve on whatever weaknesses we have.
Any part of that that kind of that the following week's race at Atlanta would have impact on? Because that's almost like it's a speedway test session or practice session for going into Atlanta, right?
Yeah, certainly. There's it's same aero package. Some things for raw speed certainly would apply. It's obviously really hard to like I said, you don't want to go out in a huge pack and put yourself at risk and pretty hard to simulate that otherwise. So we'll do the best we can with it for sure, but won't be conditions at the end of the day won't be representative of Atlanta or Daytona race.
And to build off that, talk about the challenges of putting two speedway races back to back in the schedule from a car standpoint, from a part standpoint. There's certain transaxles with different ratios. There's got to be some logistical challenges in this opening of the week of the schedule here.
Yeah, there's definitely some challenges for sure, and some additional challenges with coming on with the dark horse. Where we're really getting a lot of our parts or some of our parts for sure. Within I would say 24 hours of getting the parts, they need to be kind of going onto the car. Two different similar racetracks combined with the dark horse certainly gives us some logistical challenges to start the year, but nothing that we can't overcome.
Jonathan, we had you on after the championship at Phoenix, and Todd asked you about, and we talked about last year, the progress you guys made over the course of the season. And Todd's question was about how do you make progress with 20-minute practice sessions? And your answer was, we make progress testing and learning during the races, to which then we unfold the importance of winning early. How important, as you develop this dark horse car, is it to maybe knock out a win in the first third of the season so that you have these races, learning sessions? I mean, you want the trophy, I get that, but how important is it to get a win maybe in the first third, first quarter of the season?
Yeah, Steve, I definitely think, getting that win, the earlier you can get it, the certainly the more time you have to go out and experiment and do things that you wouldn't do otherwise. Yeah. So yeah, you hit that on the head. It just opens up the box to, like I said, go out and experiment and learn a lot about your car.
Jonathan, final thought for you here. I snooped around on your social media. I know you're an avid skier, but am I right? You guys did a van trip with the family, and how was that?
Avid skier. We decided to approach the trip a little bit differently this year. We ended up renting a Sprinter van, going out west for 17 days and hitting multiple states. I think we put a little over 3,000 miles on the van and just over 2 weeks. So it was a blast. Honestly, our kids are young, and we decided it was an opportunity that we probably weren't going to have. So decided to go out and do it that way and had a blast.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Hey, I got one last thing. I'm looking. I know that office pretty well. Yeah. I like the trophy in the corner. That's a great accomplishment. Very Penske-esque. The hat's not, though. Tell me the story there.
Oh yeah, we I've worked really hard, I would say, over the last couple of years to have a really good relationship with pit crew and road crew, and try to do a lot of things together. Try to have some common gear and attire and goals, and decided our motto this year would be to kind of forge horseshoes, with the mindset being that we're going to make our own luck and work hard each and every week. And all the results are just a product of our hard work.
So it's an anvil and a horseshoe, and horseshoes don't happen by accident. So that's a neat stuff. Love it. That's for sure. Jonathan, we always appreciate your time joining us here on Crew Call. Look forward to catching up with you real time down in Daytona. And we'll talk to you, of course, down the road. But thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Steve and Todd. Thanks for having me on the show.
There we go. Jonathan Hassler, the reigning championship winning crew chief from up at Team Penske. Stay with us. More Crew Call in just a moment.
This season, Toyota Racing is looking for jugglers.
Aha!
Not the ones who toss balls or rings. Fans that can juggle the rigors of a 10-month-long season across many different racing circuits.
Well, what if I added knives?
What if you added GR Cup, Formula Drift, and off-road racing? you can juggle it all, then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. Formula Drift is a registered trademark of Formula Drifts Holdings, LLC.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage, and we love catching up with Jonathan Hassler. What a great performance last year. Recovery is not the right word. What great progress they made, and I'm anxious to see how they go forward with this and how they approach the first quarter of the season here.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. They came out with I felt like Team Penske came out with a pretty strong performance at the Clash. It's different than any other type of racing, but it's still momentum. You still build that in, and it's Ryan looked is in the form that he was through the last couple rounds of the playoffs. I think Jonathan's got a great opportunity here with everybody. It'd be interesting to see how that chemistry. We talked a little bit with Jonathan about it, but the spotter driver interaction. The first two races are pretty important for that. So Tim Fido is a great guy up top, and we'll see how that relationship matures.
Yeah, the whole Clash thing is fascinating to me. We had our media day back a couple of weeks ago, and I asked Martin Truex Jr. about that. And he says, if you don't believe in momentum, you remember 2022 was dismal for that 19 team, and they won the Clash. And he said, that just sprungboard us into a really, really good season. So when you look at Ryan Blaney, when you look at Kyle Busch, when you look at Denny Hamlin and Chris Gabehart, getting good runs at the Clash is important. Not that you're going to take that setup to Daytona, but it is important to keep momentum and keep rolling.
It just keeps us bringing everybody's step and gives everybody an opportunity. You know, it's the one thing you've got. And you that championship, you got to live that all winter.
Right.
You know, it's this one gets you the Super Bowl weekend.
Yes,
so you get
exactly.
you get to kind of have that spring for a little bit longer than typically having to shut it off on Monday, focusing forward. So see what happens when they get to Daytona. But Ryan's one that I look at Daytona.
So
he's
good.
He's a perennial contender. If I had to list three guys that are going to win down there, Ryan's going to be one of them.
Yeah, no doubt. When I look big picture at this season, I was just making some notes and jotting some things around. Of course, we know we have a new body with a Toyota, a new body with a Ford. We get that. Chevy's the same body. But when I look at the driver crew chief combinations, Hendrick Motorsports, Richard Childress Racing, Joe Gibbs Racing, 2311, Team Penske, RFK, and no changes. That to me, I've done some radio shows as we get ready for this weekend's 500 and everything, and people ask me, I say, you got to look at that group. A, they're the premier teams when you talk Team Penske, Hendrick, Joe Gibbs Racing, but to have all of those combinations coming back, there are going to be some solid teams rolling into Daytona.
Yeah, continuity speaks volumes when you get that opportunity to continue to work together, not only within driver and crew chief pairings, but within the organization. Because that sharing information, the trust value is there. You know, so those guys come forward. It's going to be interesting where all this plays out.
Yeah, fun stuff, that's for sure. It'll all play out, starting with the Great American Race, the Daytona 500. Pumped up about it. Really excited. It's going to be a fun time for sure.
Yeah, you brought it up. The Ford bringing the Dark Horse Mustang body forward and the Toyota Camry XSE. Two new bodies coming to Speedway Racing. I'm interested to see what happens here because not only did Toyota build a new body, as I look at it, it looks like it's got a little bit more Speedway raceability to it. The nose looks a little flatter, not have the points as much as it used to. I think it's got some Speedway pieces into it. I think the fact that they've brought Legacy Motor Club on board has gotten them to a number where Toyota now doesn't have to tie into somebody else's strategy. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. It's typically been a manufacturer strategy. Ford plays theirs, Chevrolet plays theirs. Toyota found their way around in between that.
Yeah, they would glom onto someone else's strategy, yes.
But I feel like now they've got enough cars that we're going to see three separate strategies play out.
Yep. Going to be fun. That is for sure. And it all kicks off this week down at Daytona. You're watching this on Wednesday tonight. We have pole qualifying, 8 p.m. Eastern time on the Motor Racing Network. Blue-green vacation duel at Daytona. That's at 6 o'clock on Thursday. Friday, we start things at 5:30 in the afternoon with a practice session. And then the trucks, the fresh from Florida 250 NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race Friday night at 7 o'clock. Saturday, we have a triple header coverage. We start in the morning at 10:30 with NASCAR Cup Series practice, the final practice session. Happy hour, the old happy hour, as they call it. 1:30, the ARCA Menards Series race, and at 4:30, the United Rentals 300 for the NASCAR Xfinity Series. And Sunday, 1:30 p.m., the 66th running of the Daytona 500. Mike Bagley will bring us on the air with NASCAR Live Race Day, and we will roll into the Great American Race. It is going to be a fun, fun week, and man, there is nothing better, Todd, than getting things started down at Daytona. I mean, I know we did the Clash, but nothing better than getting things started at Daytona.
Yeah, you get busy. You get busy with a lot of stuff going on and Wednesday right through. So going to be great. It's great to have racing season, active racing season.
Racing season, that's right. Exactly. There you have it. MRN has great programming all week long, or all during the week as well, on our streaming service. NASCAR Live, our Tuesday night tradition. NASCAR Wide Open, or NASCAR Live Wide Open, easy for me to say. NASCAR Coast to Coast, Wing Nation, and of course,
hey everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.
This program, Crew Call, and if you're liking what you're listening to and seeing on MRN, share with everybody. We appreciate that. That is for sure. Off to Daytona. Here we go. Another trip around the season. He's Todd Gordon. I'm Steve Post. Thank you for joining us here on Crew Call on the Motor Racing Network.